Zinman versus LA Fitness. By the way, Mr. Stickney, I know you were court appointed, and I appreciate the court appreciates your acceptance of that appointment and discharge of your responsibilities this morning.
Well, thank you, Your Honor, and I think the last time I saw you was about 10 or 12 years ago on a case. You were on the panel, and it was a similar situation.
It's good to see you again. Maybe it won't take as many years to see you the next time.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Zinman. Please come speak with us.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Corey Zinman, and I'm here today proceeding on my own behalf, appealing from the district court's dismissal of my complaint against the appellee. While the district court said a number of things in its order that I challenged in my briefs, I'd like to focus the court's attention on the two reasons that it gave for dismissing my complaint. Those being that I failed to allege that I had complied with Title II's notice provision, and secondly, because I allegedly failed to set forth a prima facie claim of discrimination under Title II.
Well, let me tell you, the one I'm more concerned about is the second.
Yes, Your Honor.
So it seems to me that what you alleged is that you were required to wear a mask by the gym, and some others were not, but that's really it. That's all you've really told us. And at least from my reading, you've not alleged facts. I'm concerned that you've not alleged facts from which I could infer that what's going on here in terms of you being required to wear a mask and others not is religious discrimination. I don't know really anything about why the others were not required to wear a mask. I have to assume for purposes of a motion to dismiss that everything that you've alleged is true, and grant all reasonable inferences in your favor. But my concern is that I don't know what the facts are with respect to these others who allegedly were not required to wear a mask. Maybe there was a medical condition with them. There could be. I would just have to speculate. And it'd be one thing if you had alleged facts that led me to believe they were not required to wear a mask because of a religious belief, but you were, despite a religious belief. I could infer from that religious discrimination, but I don't have anything like that here. So what do you say?
Your Honor, with all due respect, the allegation that I made in my complaint was that the mask policy was selectively enforced against me. But the main issue that I would like to raise with respect...
You've alleged that it was religious discrimination.
Correct, because right. I was forced to either forego my sincerely held religious beliefs or be denied the full and equal benefit of the appellee services.
The problem is, though, that if it's selective, the question is, was it selective because of religion?
Your Honor, with all due respect, I don't believe that's necessarily the standard to prove discrimination under Title II. However, I also would like to make the point that the prima facie standard, mm-hmm. according to the Supreme Court in Swierkiewicz versus Sarema, the prima facie standard is an evidentiary standard and not a pleading requirement that plaintiffs have to satisfy to survive.
I'm just wondering, what facts did you allege that would allow me to infer that the reason for the discrimination against you was your religion, as opposed to something else with respect to the others who were not required to wear masks?
I cannot speak to the appellee's intent as far as why they enforced their policy selectively against me, but again, even if we were applying the prima facie standard under Title II, I don't believe that's what I would be required to show. I'd be required to show, A, that they replace a public accommodation, B, that...
That there was discrimination or segregation on the ground of race, color, religion, or national origin, Section 2000AA, right?
Correct.
Where, from what fact can I infer that there was discrimination on the ground of religion?
Because the policy itself is inherently discriminatory, whether or not that's what they intended.
It's not inherently discriminatory on the basis of religion, though.
Well, it doesn't allow me to I'm forced to either forego my religious beliefs or to...
Yeah, the problem is there are others. It'd be one thing if you alleged that you were treated differently or worse than similarly situated individuals.
That's precise. I don't mean to interrupt you, but that's precisely what I've alleged as far as...
Yeah, but I don't know how I can tell that they're similarly situated just based on the allegations of your complaint.
I mean, for all we know, they had the same religious beliefs, and there was some... The mask policy was enforced differently for some other reason.
Yeah.
While that may very well be possible, I believe that I should have been allowed an opportunity to conduct discovery to investigate my theory, because, again, the prima facie standard isn't, you know, required to be satisfied in the complaint. So,
but let's say that we agree with you that the prima facie standard isn't the pleading standard. But I think, as Chief Judge Pryor has been saying, in similar cases, we've said that you would need to show facts that, if true, would mean that you were discriminated against because of your religion. And I think we understand you made the point that you were treated differently, but what we don't see is a because of religion.
And again, Your Honor, that would, but
I mean, it seems like your argument is, because your objection was a religious one and it was not accommodated, that necessarily constitutes religious discrimination. And what I think we're suggesting to you is that's not enough.
If I may make an analogy, if the appellee had a policy that prohibited all headgear, hats, and everything entirely, would that not be a policy that discriminates against Muslims or even Jews who wish to wear a kippah? That's the point that I'm making, is that I wasn't allowed to...
Well, I think maybe the difference there, maybe the comparison there would be if they then let people of one religion wear their hat and they did not let people of another religion wear their head covering. I think that's where you would see religious discrimination between two different groups.
So if they don't allow anybody to wear headgear, and Muslims by default would not be, Muslim women at least, would not be allowed access, that wouldn't be discriminatory towards Muslim people?
We're obviously not deciding that case. There might be a different First Amendment claim there, but I think if there wouldn't necessarily be a discrimination claim if all religions were being treated
equally.
I would respectfully disagree, but as you mentioned, that there were some cases that were on point, and I believe that the one that came out of this circuit was Thomas. I know it's Thomas versus something oil.
Murphy Oil.
Yeah.
It requires the plaintiff to show that he was treated less favorably than similarly situated people. And Mr. Zinman, the problem I think we're having is that we don't have, from the facts that you alleged, anything to suggest to us that the others were similarly situated.
But according to Iqbal, the court was required to accept all of the allegations that I made as true. So the fact that I alleged that they selectively enforced...
Let's go back to Judge Grant's hypothetical. So let's say that the others who were not required to wear a mask had a religious objection that was accommodated, okay? And let's say that the owner of the gym just doesn't like you, okay? That would not be religious discrimination. That would be, I don't like Corey Zinman discrimination, which is not illegal under federal law, okay?
No, but if they don't like me because of the fact that I was voicing a religious objection to their policy, I would argue that
that's
that is
a different thing. But we have to have some facts that would suggest to us that that's the reason.
Well, in the complaint itself, I argued that they didn't attempt to exclude me until after I had voiced a religious objection to their policy, even though numerous other gym goers, members of the gym, also were not wearing their mask. And I mean, I have video evidence to prove that. I just wasn't allowed an opportunity to show that because I was dismissed with prejudice without being given an opportunity to conduct discovery.
I have a question about the sanctions aspect of the case. I think our precedent suggests that once a sanctions order has been complied with, an appeal is moot. What's your response to that?
I did file the notice of compliance in the district court. So honestly, I didn't intend really to object to that portion of the order. I was hoping that the order itself would be overturned, and that we would just move back down to the district court. As far as the mootness argument, I don't really have an argument there. However, the only thing that I could say about the sanctions order was that the judge didn't make a finding of bad faith or any violations of Rule 11 prior to sanctioning me.
Isn't it possible, regardless of what our precedent may or may not require, that there's some sort of, some sort of reputational consequence to a sanction that would not disappear once that sanction was complied with?
Absolutely, Your Honor, and I've already suffered those consequences. I've had, Google my name and it comes up. I've had YouTubers, make light of it. So I definitely have suffered those consequences in job interviews. That definitely comes up. So, I mean, for all those reasons, there's definitely a huge reputational consequence. So, irrespective of the mootness of that goes to the mootness, is that it's really not moot because I'm still suffering those reputational consequences. If Your Honors have no more questions, I would like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay. So you had reserved 3. I'll give you 4.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Ms. Savona.
Good morning. May it please the court. Therese Savona on behalf of the Appalachian LA Fitness. As this panel has indicated, the correct standard is a pleading standard. This isn't a prima facie standard that we're looking at. There needs to be something more than a legal conclusion, a recitation of a cause of action in order for a complaint to state a cause of action. And in this case, under Title II, Chief Judge Pryor, you correctly identified that there are no facts that could be garnered from this complaint that was dismissed, or facts that there can be inferences. Instead, there was a legal conclusion by the appellant that went to that fourth prong of a Title II claim.
It does seem like the exhaustion is a defense that he doesn't have to plead around.
Could you repeat that? I apologize.
So exhaustion of administrative remedies is a defense. It doesn't seem to me that the plaintiff is obliged to plead around that. It may be something that that LA Fitness can raise as an affirmative defense, but it does not seem to me that he has to allege that he has, in fact, exhausted his remedies. Am I wrong about that?
My understanding for the notice requirement is that he would have to plead the allegation, and I want to take, move forward or step back from that and acknowledge to this court that the appellant's proposed second amended complaint did in fact allege that he complied with the providing FCHR, the Florida Commission on Human Rights, a notice. So I think for the notice requirement,
sometimes a plaintiff will allege that the plaintiff has exhausted remedies, but maybe include documents attached to the complaint or do it in a way that you can tell from the face of the complaint that they failed to exhaust their administrative remedies and we can dismiss because it shows on the face of the complaint that they failed to do so. That's different from a plaintiff who alleges that he or she has exhausted and it's not apparent that that's not true, okay? Or doesn't allege anything about it at all, in which case I'm not, it seems to me that that's something a defendant can move to dismiss for failure to exhaust administrative remedies, but it's not something that's a defect on the face of the complaint. And here what we're trying to deal with, I think, is whether the district court should have dismissed this complaint because of defects apparent on its face.
That's correct. And even if this court found that the district court was incorrect on the notice for dismissal, it's the district court, or this court should still affirm the district court's order because of the failure to allege the Title II. So I agree with you, even if that part was incorrect, this court can still affirm the dismissal.
I guess the thing I was wondering is, was I missing something on the failure to exhaust? And that, in fact, the district court was right about that, too, because it doesn't appear to me that it was.
Well, and there is a difference in opinions with the district courts in the state of Florida. So there is a middle district court that said, you don't have to do this. You don't have to comply. There is a southern district court case that says the opposite. So appellant relied on the middle district court case. LA Fitness below relied on the Southern District Court case.
It's the strangest habit in Florida. It seems like every order I get from a district court in Florida cites lots of district court opinions and not reported decisions of circuit courts of appeals. precedential opinions, you know. This is, maybe we just don't publish enough.
well, nonetheless, even if the district court was incorrect on the notice requirement, and I think what the panel and what my colleague has focused his time on today was that missing fourth prong of the Title II claim. So I do want to acknowledge that as well.
Although haven't several circuit courts in similar contexts said, although it's not a pleading requirement, that if the opponent raises it, you can dismiss for that reason? So it's a non-jurisdictional claims processing rule more than a pleading requirement?
I understand. The claims processing rule argument that my colleague raised was raised for the first time in the reply brief. Claims processing rule argument was not raised below. It was not raised in the initial brief. So it's not something that the district court addressed in this case. It's not something that LA Fitness addressed in this case. So I apologize if I misunderstood your question. It's not something that's been briefed or fleshed out.
What about returning to the substance of his pleading, why shouldn't we make the inference that if he alleges that he was not required to wear a mask until
that he was,
that he was not required to wear a mask until he informed the gym that the reason he didn't want to wear a mask was because of his religion? Why shouldn't we infer religious discrimination from that allegation?
Because the allegation that is in the amended complaint is a legal conclusion, and the pleading standard doesn't allow for inferences based on legal conclusions. If my colleague had indicated just something else in the complaint, I think that could be an
wait
inference.
Wait a minute. Let's go back. So is it true that he alleged that he was not required to wear a mask until he explained to LA Fitness that he had a religious objection, and then they did require him to wear one?
If I can,
when others were not being required.
Sure. If I can quote what my colleague put in the amended complaint, and this is at docket entry 6, paragraph 24. At the time that LA Fitness management was insisting that Zinman wear a facial covering, both to enter and exit, as well as to move about their facility, LA Fitness management was allowing other similarly situated individuals both to enter and exit, as well as to move about the facility without facial coverings. That was
that's the second step. I think what Chief Judge Pryor asked you about was his allegations that he said he wasn't initially required to wear a mask, and then he said he made clear to management that he didn't want to wear a mask because of his religious beliefs. You agree with that, right? He did allege those things.
He did allege that he informed the gym.
And at that point, he was told he was required to wear a mask.
My understanding was he was required to wear a mask prior to that because this was in December of 2020. There was a Palm Beach County ordinance that was in place.
Okay, what does the complaint allege as opposed to what your understanding was? Let's make sure that if that's what we're going to talk about, that it's tied to the allegations of the complaint, because we have to read those in the light most favorable to the plaintiff. Okay?
Absolutely.
So, well, I'll let you answer first.
So I'm looking at the facts of the amended complaint, yep. And it indicates that the appellant made LA Fitness aware of his objection to wear a facial covering based on his religion.
Does it allege what the policy was at LA Fitness was leading up to that point?
No.
Does it allege at what point LA Fitness imposed a mask mandate or anything about that?
It indicates that.
What does it say?
Initially, LA Fitness management accommodated Zinman's religious objection to their policy, mm-hmm. and offered him the full and equal enjoyment of their goods, services, facilities, privileges, advantages, and accommodations, mm-hmm. despite the fact that Zinman continued refusing to wear a facial covering. It then goes on to say that on or about December 15th of 2020, LA Fitness management publicly harassed Zinman about wearing a facial covering, despite the fact that Zinman had made clear to them that to do so would violate his sincerely held religious beliefs.
So in other words, he was accommodated. He was not required to wear a mask, even though LA Fitness knew during that period he had a religious objection.
Correct.
But something changed.
Correct.
In December. And it doesn't allege a basis for inferring what brought about the change.
Correct. It also does not indicate at what time he made LA Fitness aware of the objection. It just says in December of 2020, and then it says on December 15th, 2020 is when LA Fitness enforced the mask mandate. So I don't have those facts based on the amended complaint. And I think that's where the district court was concerned is, and just like this panel is concerned, is that there needs to be something a little more for this to meet the pleading standard, not the prima facie standard, the pleading standard. And so looking at those facts and then looking at the part two that Judge Pryor had mentioned, that doesn't allow for any inference to be provided to allow a Title II claim to go forward against LA Fitness.
Can we make any inference from the harassment piece of it?
I don't believe so, only because there isn't anything that was said. It says LA Fitness management publicly harassed him about wearing a facial covering. Again, I think if there was something more, and this is not requiring a heightened pleading standard, this is asking for factual basis, which this court in the Murphy Oil case has said is required in order to bring claims of discrimination. So I think if we are going into that level, then courts would be digging into every word, trying to find something to allow a pleading to go forward when there is a basis for relief under 12b-6.
It says that they harassed him, they publicly harassed Zinman about wearing a facial covering despite the fact that he had made clear to them that doing so would violate his religious beliefs. What if he had said, and I know this isn't your case, but what if he had said they publicly harassed him about wearing a facial covering because of his religious beliefs? Would that be a different case?
Potentially, but I still think there needs to be more. I mean, we don't know, and I was not at the gym, and I don't know the management at the gym, but if, let's assume for purposes of this discussion, that a gym member tells just a regular employee, not a manager, and says, I have an objection based on my sincerely held religious beliefs. Maybe that employee does something with that information. Maybe they don't. Maybe they tell the manager. Maybe they don't. And then if the manager then sees one day that the same gym member comes in without a mask as required and says, wait a second, we're in the middle of a pandemic. We have emergency orders. What is going on? You need to wear a mask.
And it's a time of the year when infections are surging.
Correct. So there are, I think Again, that would require a lot of reading in, so I think just a change of one word, while I think that is an interesting change in a complaint, I still think that there would need to be more, and even looking at this complaint, I think even if it said because, I still don't know, and again, I know this is speaking hypothetically, I still think it doesn't meet it because there isn't, I think we're all kind of looking for something more in this complaint so that it would meet the pleading standard, but there are not enough factual allegations. And so for those reasons, the district court appropriately dismissed the case, granted the motion to dismiss with prejudice.
With respect to paragraph 24, Mr. Zinman alleged in a conclusory fashion, as you say, that management was allowing other similarly situated individuals both to enter and exit, as well as move about the facility without facial coverings. What more would Mr. Zinman have to have alleged about those similarly situated individuals?
Sure. As this court stated in Thomas Murphy Oil, it says factual details sufficient to support claims of unlawful discrimination. And that would be something as in, this is someone who was either similarly situated or others who were not. There's other cases from districts, and I know Chief Judge Pryor, we don't want to talk about district courts that aren't relying on precedential cases from this court, but there are district courts that have talked in applying the Thomas case that have talked about essentially an apt comparator. And again, that's not a heightened pleading standard. It's saying you can't use causes of actions, the elements of a cause of action to state a complaint, and that's nothing
different. Here's the thing. Wouldn't one example be other individuals who had religious objections were not required to wear a mask, but
correct,
he was.
Correct.
That would be one way. Are there other ways where there could be factual allegations that would make it, that would cross the threshold from conclusory to satisfying the notice pleading requirements?
I'm sure that there are, and without probably going down into a rabbit hole of different...
Can't think of any.
I can't think of any at the moment. Again, going off of what this court has said in Thomas and what the pleading standard is saying...
Well, one might be an employee said, well, yeah, we're accommodating their religious objections, but we're not going to accommodate yours because we don't like Jews.
Sure. And
yeah, that would be a basis.
Sure.
Right?
And other cases that have talked about Title II discrimination have gone into more detail about things that were said and whatnot. But again, we just don't have that on the face of this amended complaint. I see I am right out of time. Judge Grant, do you have a question?
If the chief doesn't mind, I've got one follow-up question.
Sure.
What if these other people who weren't wearing masks, what if they didn't want to talk to your opposing party? What if they weren't willing to share the information? How is a patron supposed to be able to figure out why other people are being allowed to make that move while he's not?
Well, I think it goes to your question goes to potentially allowing discovery to be able to start a claim of action, and that's something that has been rejected. The discovery rules are not to be put in play until a motion to dismiss is...
One thing he could have done is when he was thrown out, is asked, well, why is it that they're being allowed, right?
Sure, and maybe that did happen. These were never alleged in the complaint.
Right.
So again, I see I'm out of time.
Sorry, I do have one more. I think paragraph 26, I think it's closer to what Mr. Zinman was saying about his allegation. It says management did not seek to terminate Zinman's membership until after he had raised a religious objection to their policy requiring facial coverings. I think he probably stated it a little bit stronger here, but why isn't that enough for us to infer at this stage of the case that there was religious discrimination?
I don't believe that even looking at paragraph 26, that goes to the factual allegations that are sufficient that this court has stated before. To again say, I said this, you'd said this, I think that's the formulaic recitation. So even though that, again, maybe it's something that moves the dial a little bit. It's not something that puts it over, I think, that the conclusory statement in order to state a claim. We'd ask for the this court to affirm the district court's order. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honors, the first issue that I'd like to address on rebuttal is, although counsel for the appellee today stated that I didn't need to satisfy the prima facie standard, the entire time throughout their briefs, they were insistent that I had to satisfy Title II's fourth prong, which corresponds to the prima facie.
We agree with you that they don't have to do that. Okay. You don't have to do that.
Secondly, with respect to legal conclusions, it's not really clear to me. The phrase formulaic resuscitation is being thrown around a lot, but to me, the allegation that the appellee allowed similarly situated individuals to enter, exit, and move about their facility without, essentially, that they selectively enforce their policy.
Just saying, using the magic words similarly situated is the thing that we're concerned is conclusory, without some factual allegation of what it is that makes them similarly situated.
Again, Your Honor, but the similarly situated element corresponds again to the prima facie standard.
Yeah, but the case that you yourself cited in your opening, the Thomas case, mm-hmm. is about a pleading standard, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And in you've got to say a little bit more than that. That's
for sure.
The concern.
I don't mean to cut you off. Were you finished?
No, you're fine. Yeah. Go ahead.
In that case, the plaintiffs merely alleged that he was sprayed water on, and it was racial discrimination because he's alleging that they didn't like him because of his race. And that's markedly different to what I'm claiming, is that their policy is inherently discriminatory against my religious beliefs.
I don't know. In that case, maybe they didn't spray people who were of a different race, right? But that doesn't necessarily show, that doesn't get you from A to B, does it?
I'm confused on what you're asking me.
Well, never mind. I've got a different question. On paragraph 10, you note that initially LA Fitness Management accommodated your religious objection to their policy and offered full and equal enjoyment of goods, services, et cetera, et cetera. But then on or about December 15th, that's when things shifted. It seems to me that it would be, you could better infer that religion was the reason had they never accommodated your religious beliefs. Isn't the more natural explanation that there are some other reason that they started to enforce the policy?
No, Your Honor, because I've also alleged that they were, at the same time that they were enforcing it, they were still allowing other people to frequent the gym without them being required
but
to wear.
But you haven't told us anything about who they were or anything like that. The problem is you've alleged that LA Fitness accommodated your belief at the start, so that they were aware of it. You had objected, you had informed them that you had a religious objection, and for a while at least, that was okay. You weren't required to wear a mask. Then on December 15th, I think, sometime in December, it changed. And you told us, while some others were not being required to wear masks, but we don't know anything about them, anything, other than that they were in the gym and not being required to wear a mask. And what I guess we're struggling with is there enough here to infer reasonably that the change, the December change, was because of your religion?
With all due respect, Your Honor, it would be impossible for me to know the particular details concerning the other members of the gym without being allowed an opportunity to conduct discovery. I mean, it's like Judge Grant said, that I could have just said something about...
You could have... Did you talk to the other gym members?
I tried to approach...
The ownership or the management? I mean, it's not impossible to find out facts from without discovery, is it?
No, but it would have been significantly... I mean, I believe that's the entire purpose of discovery, is to be able to garner additional facts to support otherwise viable legal claims. And I think that I have alleged a viable legal claim. I just haven't alleged all the facts to go along with that.
Did you ask why you were being made to wear the mask? Or did you allege to the gym what was going on?
I made them clear about my religious objections. They accommodated it at first, and then they changed their position on it. As far as did I ask, like, is this because of my religion? No, I didn't ask that. However, again, I don't believe that that's necessarily even something that I'm required to prove. It's just as long as the policy itself is discriminatory towards, you know, towards religion, irrespective of whether they intended it to be discriminatory towards religion. I see that I'm out of time, but the last thing I wanted to address, if it's okay, is Judge Grant, you had brought up the language of claim processing rules, and counsel for the appellee said that's not something that the court is allowed to consider because it wasn't fleshed out. And while I apologize that that wasn't raised in my original brief, I didn't become aware of the Supreme Court precedent of the Supreme Court analyzing a nearly identical provision of Title VII until after I had filed that brief. So, but I would still argue that this court is not only allowed, but is more than likely bound to consider the Supreme Court's ruling in those cases.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Zinman. We have your case, and we'll hear the next one.